Okay, now you're a physicist, but what do you mean by open our hearts?
Very good question. How does opening our heart become a question of physics? Well, this concept of consciousness is the ground of being allows us to conceptualize two things, two quite distinct things. One is our feeling, and the other is the material body that we sense. These two things together. What is the connector? They are very disparate things, and therefore they could not communicate with signals because there is nothing common between them. But in the new science, consciousness can mediate their interaction. So how are feelings related to our body? It is very simple. Feelings come from what I call vital energy body. It is the movement of vital energy that we really feel. And where do vital energies come from? They are movement of blueprints of form, not form like we have organs, liver, brain. They are organs, right? They are physical organs. But they are made from blueprints, like an architect makes the house from a blueprint. These blueprints of form are called morphogenetic field. That's the term that Rupert Sheldrake used, one of the first to use. And they are non-local. Consciousness is responsible for that non-local capacity to put together this blueprint of form and then represent them in the organs. So then these organs, their function has an associated vital component, vital movement. So associated with our organ, we have these feelings that come up. Everybody knows about the feeling of love to be centered in the region of the heart. Why? It's not directly connected with the heart, but there is another organ in the region of the heart called the thymus gland, which is part of the immune system. What does the immune system do? It distinguishes me and not me. So the job of the immune system is to kill off all the intruder molecules like a bacteria, like a virus. It tries to kill them off, any intruder substance. So if the immune system, my immune system, agrees with somebody else's immune system not to reject, but to accept it as part of me, to extend myself to another person. Isn't that what love is about? So our falling in love is an agreement of our immune system. That's as simple as it is. And you see now how physics centers that non-local ability of non-local communication.
And isn't it fascinating how you can click with somebody and then you won't click with that other person?
Yeah, exactly. You don't click with some people, and you do click with some people, and sometimes we click, and then we fall out of click. So all these mysteries can be solved by recognizing these correlated movements of the organs with the morphogenetic fields. When they are in synchrony, we are in good health. We feel vitality. When there is a lack of synchrony, we are out of health. We are out of love. All kinds of problems arise.
Sickness, everything.
Sickness, everything. Pain is a lack of synchrony between the vital energies and the physical body.
Bring consciousness into this, doctor, if you would for a moment.
So consciousness is the mediator between these great experiences that we have. Without consciousness mediating, we really would have very disjointed experiences. There would be no unity of experience. I mean, look, I see a car. And immediately thought comes, this is a car. It's a unity of experience. No, we see a car, and then 5 minutes later, we don't have a thought like, I see a car. I mean, that just doesn't happen. There is a instant communication that requires this non-locality, non-local consciousness. So the car, and it is a car, the meaning, the mental meaning, is coming at the same time. Without any signal, without taking any time.
If people have that capability of tapping into this subconscious world, they could do all kinds of things, couldn't
they? Absolutely. So if we could connect to this non-local consciousness, these are the spiritual experiences that people talk about. Sometimes we say we have a creative quantum leap. We discontinuously jump into this non-local consciousness. And suppose we develop this ability to jump into non-local consciousness in the conscious way. And that is what spiritual traditions try to teach us.
You've talked about three components of personal transformation: right thinking, right living, right livelihood. Let's go through each one. What do you mean by right thinking?
Well, right thinking is not to think that matter is the basis of everything, because matter cannot explain the value.
As you used to think, right?
As we used to think, right? And matter cannot explain meaning. And so if we believe in the supremacy of matter, we miss out on the most important things of the world, which is our subtle experiences. So that's right thinking. We have to come to a worldview that is based on the primacy of consciousness.
Right.
So knowing this worldview, this is the beautiful part of it, George. Knowing this worldview, we can know everything else, because everything else follows. The material worldview is exclusive. The values don't follow from it. Meaning doesn't come from it. We just say that, well, there is no meaning, there is no values. That's what our conclusion is. It excludes a part of our experiences. Our experiences, there is value. Everybody intuits that there is value. Everybody intuits that there is a distinction between good and evil. But with materialism, it is value-free. There is no values, because matter cannot process values, meanings, etc. So it's an exclusive science. Whereas spirituality, this new science based on primacy of consciousness, is an inclusive science. It does not throw away materialist science. Materialist science is part of it, but it augments it with a new science, science of the subtle. And this is where the power of the new science is. So right thinking is to waking up to that power. Right living is now to be empowered by that right thinking. Now we have discovered that consciousness is the ground of being, as you said. How do we access non-local consciousness? So we learn right living. A very important component of right living is a principle that I flippantly call do-be-do-be-do. We learn to relax. We learn to relax within our activity. We don't just constantly focus on acting, do-do-do. Instead, we also focus on being. Why? Because when we are, it turns out that quantum movements of possibility proliferate. Possibilities become even more possibilities. And if you have more possibilities to choose from, obviously your chance of choosing the creative is greater. So in that way, by combining doing and being in our pattern of living, we become more creative. We become more spiritual. We make more room for discontinuous movements of consciousness. That's right living. And why do we need right livelihood? If your livelihood is so boring, you know, like those assembly line jobs, then you come home and your mind is so tired, all you can do is to flop before the TV. Who can blame?
Yeah, you can't blame somebody.
Right? So we need right livelihood, a livelihood that will have meaning processing built into it, that will have some spare time, that will have some capacity for relaxation, that will enable people to process which is meaningful, enable people to have relationships. You know, relationship is time-consuming. If you don't give the time, then what do? It becomes very mechanical.